March 6, 2023, it's the Watch for Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Show, turn the monitor off, idiot. 21 years, 10 months, and I'm still blowing clouds. And people, you can see that I ain't man load mode because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. I got with you. Brother Ken and Dave.
How are you, sir?
Yeah.
It's great to be back.
And Hope got a new record. Tell me, well, let's tell the people. We heard John Coltrane, this is him alone, in between sets, I think, at the Showboat in 1963 Philadelphia on the piano. Pretty rare to hear recorded this, After the Rain. And then End of Hope, The Iron. This was like the tiniest tune. But tell me about this new record, Ken, Dave.
You know, let's talk about The Iron real quick. We set out with a goal of, can we write a really good one-minute song? Right. Because what's more punk rock than that, right? Like, if you can get it all done in 1 minute, that's as punk rock as it gets.
Yeah, or under even. Remember that Wire record, Pink Flag?
Yeah.
Big inspiration to Minuteman. So, okay, so you set out. Did you have the title?
No, we didn't have the title because we always let Davey, our singer, write the lyrics. So what we did was I think he stepped out for a smoke. And we said we should do one that's 1 minute long. And I think I came up with the riff on the spot. And then me, Davis, and our drummer, Dave Richmond, just hacked at it. And by the time Davey stepped back in the room, we were like, we got it. And then in typical fashion, he's one of those singers that banks lyrics. So he just has.
He's got a trove.
Yeah. You know, in the old days, folks always used to have the little notepad, right?
You know,
little spiral notebook or something that they would. But, you know, now, you know, Davey keeps that stuff on his phone, and all of a sudden, let's go. I got something for that.
I gotta tell you, that's one of the questions I ask with guests, Brother Ken, because I'm curious about that. Because some cats like to write on demand; they think the pressure helps bring out something they wouldn't otherwise. And then other cats is, man, I got shit that's just been waiting to get out maybe years before.
Right.
Yeah. So there's different ways.
You know, I sing in some other bands, but like when I do lyrics, I bank things that I want to use later. So it's not like a full set of lyrics, but I'll write down like, you know, sometimes like a line comes to you, you know, you hear something that you think sounds really good. And so you just write it down to remember it. And then later on when you're just starting to think about what the lyrics are going to be, you then go back to that trove of lines like, hey, can I use that one or something?
A lot of people say that with fucking song titles.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah.
Like I've got like a Google Drive file that's just like song titles, one lines of lyrics, just endless going down. But Davey, I think does like whole song lyrics.
Well,
so
let me
often
ask you,
we'll hack out a song, and we're sort of editing the bones of the song down, and then Davey's standing over in the corner, kind of flipping through his phone, and all of a sudden I go, I got it, and then sure enough, he's got verse chorus at least to start playing with.
Well, yeah, let me ask you, what about the guitar licks or Dave with the bass? Do you got a little fucking trove of licks?
I don't. I make it all up as I go along.
So you're an on-demand cat. Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Dan?
I do like to make sure, like I like to dig in afterwards, like Ken will record something when, you know, we'll come up with something in practice. I'll get the idea of what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then I'll go home and dig into it and make it really different. And
well, you being a bass brother with me, how the drums fit in with that kind of thinking?
Oh, man, our drummer is like, he's the, like, best drummer I've ever played with. He just, like, I listen to him, and he kind of helps guide me what I'm doing.
Well, I'll tell you why I brought that up. I did this spiel with the radio station here that does the Dodgers, right? Sports. One of the guys from Pedro, and I guess they wanted, this is the second time I've been on the show. So the guys, what are you trying to do with the bass, Mr. Watt? You know, and I'm thinking, you know, I can't get too muso, right? Sports
right.
channel. So I said, well, you know, the kick drum? That's kind of my closest note, so I'm trying to dance with that.
Yep. Yeah, you don't want to step on it. You don't want to hit it exactly, but you want to work with it.
Okay. So you're on board. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's play.
I just want to say, man, you're also a huge influence. I have all your early albums. I have, like, you're huge. I'm fanboy, so.
Speaking of early stuff, you know, we lost Brother Spotsky. Oh,
yeah.
That's a shame.
Very heavy.
Yeah.
He's like Spot's like the Rudy Van Gelder
of
punk music, right?
Yeah, he would have loved to hear you say that, Brother Ken.
I know he was a jazz head too.
Absolutely.
But if you think about like what Rudy Van Gelder did, like you look at like any jazz album like 50s, 60s, like Rudy Van Gelder's the engineer, right?
Well, it was a studio, right? Do you know the first version was actually his folks' fucking living room in Hackensack?
Yeah. Because you look at all the like the liner notes on all the, you know, like all your favorite jazz albums, and it's always Hackensack, and then then moved it.
Yeah, then he got his own pad. But can you imagine how cool parents do you got where you get to set up your fucking studio in the living room?
Oh yeah.
Look, here's something from the new fucking record. Push Back is Strong.
Push back, score. a campus. Kaiba, oke ni nekashitsuke. Compostera o utsu. Damascus no zato. ヒッポキャンパスはまだ使えるって。海場じゃなくて海かばじゃんね。記憶があるなら蝶の夢を見るか、ナタキンとカキを食べるか、ついに閉じられた海場の中でプルーストを書く条件が揃ったのだから、身体の痛みが薄れたら、もしかしたら喜びがあるかもしれないじゃないか。ヒッポキャンパス、海馬桶に寝かしつけ、コンポステラが打つ、ダマスカスの座頭。
No last words would I speak, but yes, I would smile before I hung from that. The thought of my true love at last running free. But yes, I would smile before I from that tree at the thought of my true love at last running free.
for Pedro Show. Start off that chunk of music with End of Hope with Pushback Strong, Ferret Noise, brand new, Funny Face tune. Okay, here's a fucking band name. Derek D'Alessia Tori Guterich House with Hippocampus. ESP Summer, Land of 102 Degrees, 101, 2.0 from Gas Coons. That's some number rock there. Hubert Sobey Jr., Infants, brand new band out of Dublin. Bushy on the drums, Miracle Whip. A Bahan Boy from, this is it, Brother AJ in the Netherlands. Lovely Day for Cricket, Noisuka, Brother Pete with Old Song Part 6. 19 minutes, 40 seconds. Is that a name for a band? Con Mortius in Lingua Mortua. So some tongues, some death, you know. Okay. Vast Tight Ring String. Tight String Conspiracy. Brother Benji in North Carolina with Greensboro. Stone Soup. RO4 out of Tokyo. Rework of Going Back. Alexander Hecka. Napalm. And End of Hope. No. We'll play him next to our Alexander. It's part of his big little opera he's got about the young imaginary or imaginary young man in Berlin. No, we ended that show with music with Nothing to See Here, End of Hope. So, well, how did these guys, were they jams in the studio like the Iron?
We, you know, all of, I think this time around because of the pandemic, we had half and half. Because the old pre-pandemic, I had a rehearsal space in Gowanus section of Brooklyn that we would always rehearse at, and we would bring the ideas there.
Okay.
So either Davis or myself would bring in either riffs or a song, and then, you know, me and Davis and the drummer would hack at it, you know, while Davey thought of some words, and we'd do it in the room, you know, traditional style. Then with the pandemic, that changed a lot of stuff, but both Davis and I, like, we're set up at home to record. So what we started basically just creating demos by sending stuff back and forth. And we even got, Davey's an old school Queens, New York hardcore guy, you know, not necessarily the most tech savvy dude, but we got him up and running on like learning to record his vocals on home so he could send vocal takes to us and stuff.
That's bitching. You know, a lot of musicians are learning that shit, and I think it's great.
He would go out to his car and plug in and just record in his car. He had his own vocal isolation.
The vocal booth. The coche.
sitting by a park in Queens, singing his ass off,
okay,
and recording using his laptop. Like, that's fantastic.
Now, and so you guys, you and Davis, you got the music together, and then he jumped on. Now, what does Drummy do? He waits for a lot of home study with that too.
Yeah, we finally got to that period where everybody kind of felt safe coming back together. The other thing that changed for us was we were all New York City guys before the pandemic. And then post-pandemic, I'm not living in the city anymore. I'm north. Our drummer is even further north. You know, like a lot of places, people got tired of being cooped up in tiny apartments. So some of us left. And so now we make sure we get together at least, you know, like once a month to keep playing through stuff, hacking through things, getting it all together.
And where is that? Where's that common ground located?
We still go back to Queens.
Okay.
To rehearse.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I don't know. Maybe it's because it just feels like home base. It's always gonna.
And Singer Man's got a shorter fucking hell ride.
I'm still in Brooklyn, so it takes me like an hour to get to Queens, and it takes Ken like an hour.
That's crazy because they're like, right next to each other.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still, you know, getting out of Brooklyn takes.
Yeah. I can believe. And we might make it easy on the Singer Man. Easy. Usually, you do go around the Drummy's pad because he's got all the gear and, you know, tearing down and setting up again and that kind of thing.
Yeah, but you know what? We're a loud band. So anybody's house and everybody's got kids and wives and everything, they don't want us around.
You know about Blue Cheer, right? up in the city, they had to prac on a houseboat because they're so fucking loud. Look, we're at the end of March 6th, in the first hour, March 6th, 2023, at Distant Watt Peter Show. Ken Davis from Men of Hope, special guest. Hold tight for hour two. March 6th, 2023, it's the second hour of the Watt for Peter Show.
Good. The grief forest is home to confused young things. I hear a small bell. The cat hides behind a cabinet. Sapling branches catch fur. A sign above the doorway says low bridge. My father keeps liquor in the living room. This is where we set up the Christmas tree. But it isn't December. There is no tree. He pours liquor into a stainless steel shaker filled with ice, then strains the liquid into a glass. He says, "Come over here." He says, "Stop." But I won't stop. He tells me to pull down my pants. My father makes me stop. Flooding and flowering. He says, "You'll grow where I say you can grow. On the hillside where the factory burned." He prints his hand on my skin. The dam stops the river. The train no longer comes through. Creosote ties, mossy and decayed, lie on either side of a berm that rises above the swamp and cuts through exposed rock.
Thank you.
Wofford Pedro Show, start off the second hour. End of Hope, Cover Your Eyes. And then Alexander Hacka. He also plays an instrument annoyed about people. But this is part three or four, I think three, of this big, like, 23-part thing of imaginary young man in Berlin. And this part is called Napalm. Agridulce after that. You know, take the K out of punk, and you got pun rock, right? Dolce sweet, huh? So, but agro, yeah. Okay. Grief Forest. Then Angry Silence after that, with Day In, Day Out. Cat Casual and the Final Word with Floorhand. Solid State Transmissions from Crypto Phaser. And finally, Fastball. End of Hope. Fastball.
Fastball.
Where'd you record this album?
Same place we've done everything we've ever done, which is a studio in New York State that we always go to, run by our friends Joe Kelly and Cole Marshall, who always work with End of Hope. They worked with my previous band, Eternal Black, who you've heard, Mike. And they just get that big bombastic sound that we like.
And what's the name? Studio name?
Suburban Elvis Studios.
Okay, that's a good name. And same knob man, guy on the controls.
Yep.
Okay.
Same guys. We always go back to work with them because they know us. They understand what we're going for.
Sure, sure. How many years was I with Spotsky? You know, Jesus, I know exactly what. There's something about that. You don't have to worry about that part of it, right? You just got to deliver a good performance.
My other project did a recording there too. I have another project called Clothesline.
Really? Clothesline. Yeah, that's a good name.
Yeah, we did a recording there as well.
Okay. And in fact, to get ready for this, you guys were coming together to do the jams in Queens, right? It was all done in advance. No, the only thing in the studio was the iron?
No. We recorded everything in the studio.
No,
so,
I didn't mean write. I mean record. I meant write. That's what I meant, brother Ken.
Oh yeah, we write everything before we go in the
studio.
But
not the iron. You said that's when the singer.
I'm sorry, I might have misled you. No, even that we did in the rehearsal studio.
Oh, okay, that's where he ran out and then came back in. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad you got patience with slow learner Watt.
That's okay, Mike.
We did do a cover of Iron Fist by Motorhead, and our drummer hadn't previously done it. He hadn't
If you're gonna do Filthy. You got to have it together, right? You better have it together.
Yeah, he nailed it, too. It was great.
Yeah, he gave it one listen.
I tell you,
like,
Filthy.
All right, I got it.
Filthy had the fucking thing with, you know, what Scotty did with I Got It Right with Stooges. Filthy really knew how to bring that to the Motorhead thing, man. It was so good. That band, the original three guys, Fast Eddie and my God. Yeah, incredible. Incredible band. So, And would you call this self-produced or what?
No, I mean, Joe and Cole really are pros at what they do. I mean, Cole's worked with King Diamond, Cole's worked with Ministry, he's worked with a ton of bands. So the bonus for us is they're not the types of producers where, you know, some guys who are going to be like, all right, they want to craft the songs with you.
Yeah.
Or they want to tell you what doesn't work for a song. You know, they want to get into the nuts and bolts of what the song is.
Yeah.
That's not our guys. Our guys are there to help us get what we want out of that song, and what should the sonics be for this tune. So, you know, the iron, Fastball, all of that.
Yeah.
They put a lot of TLC in terms of, like, you know, making the guitar sound right, making the drums sound big, getting the bass to cut through in the way it needs to cut through so you got a real rhythm section. And they're superb at that. That's why we love going back to them.
And then they let you do the rest of it. What's that, Davis?
Oh, I was saying they're more into the tone aspects and into that, not into the arrangement.
They leave that up to you guys.
Yeah,
like the thing that makes us happiest when we're working with those guys is when we're playing something and on the other side of the wall where they're, you know, over the board, we just hear them laughing. And they're not laughing at us because they're like, oh my God, these guys suck at what they're doing. They're laughing at just, we've done something that is somehow hit something in them. They go, I can't believe they just did that. That's kind of cool. And then they just laugh out loud at it, and it makes us feel good.
Okay, here's another one, Freedom Denied.
66 days. For all you Irish people out there.
Broke our days already, we're friends.
Watch for Pedro Show at Chunk of Music. Start off with End of Hope, doing Freedom Tonight. L7 after that with 66 Days. Larissa missed bad, but third band put out tape of this whole thing. This is before the Laughing Hyenas. She was just the lead singer. Ended up really good guitar. Laszlo and the Hidden Strength after that with On the Wall Kill. Death Tape Super Bass. Banger Hanger. Ray Shin out of Reno with Curtain Call. And finally, End of Hope with Fill the Void. Into the Void, right?
Well, Into the Void 7.
No, that's what I was going to say. I mean, there's something trippy about Master Reality. It's recorded kind of little, but man, the songs on that album are so fucking happening.
That's my favorite Sabbath album.
The third one.
I actually like Master Reality better than Paranoid. I know most people like Paranoid, but...
Shit, I like Volume 4, too.
Yeah.
Even with all that synthesizer shit. Yeah.
Production-wise... It's not that good, because that's the one they were coked out and produced themselves, right?
California, right? Boo.
Yeah, yeah. They went overboard on the, that's a big cocaine album.
Well, you know, in the English version of Snowblind, that Ozzy said it in the beginning of the tune. They cut it out of the U.S. one. FX is longer, too, on their version. But
Sabotage is a sleeper.
I like Sabbath. It. Except only a couple tunes. But there's some good, and that's the last time I saw them. They were at the California Jam. And I think they opened up with Killing Yourself to Live.
They did. I have the bootleg of the California Jam concert.
You can go see it on YouTube.com, too. Like Ozzy in the kind of white and purple boots and frill.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the trippy thing that always blew my mind. He didn't stand in the middle. That was the guitar guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he would always be stage left. And I only would stand in the middle.
Right, and be clapping and, like, rooting on the guitar solos. I mean, he's the guy you want in your band, right?
Yeah, yeah. The California Jam concert is weird because Iommi shaved his mustache for it.
That's right.
It's like the only time you've ever seen Iommi without the mustache.
Well, I've seen a picture of him as a teenager. He's got no mustache. But it's also daytime. They're after Black Oak, Arkansas, like at 1 or 2 in the afternoon, 3 in the afternoon.
Right.
And it was a trip. I remember the first.
And that was the Deep Purple headlined, right?
That was the first. Well, the last band to play was Emerson, Lake & Palmer. That's why I got back on the Greyhound to get back to Peter. It was $2. The gig was $6.50. You can believe that shit. But it was the first gig that Deep Purple had the singer with the low voice. David.
It was Coverdale, right?
Right, David Coverdale, gig? And they. So they, but they, you know, come on, Deep Purple, you need somebody to scream. So they got Glenn Hughes.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember Glenn Hughes, we were opening for Chili Peppers at the Forum, and Flea comes back to say hi, and I hear this voice, Flea, it's fucking Glenn fucking Hughes. He had these eyeglasses on that looked like television. And anyway, I brought up Fill the Void. I didn't mean to get into this Black Sabbath segue.
I'm willing to talk about Sabbath on any given day.
I just dig that fucking... the way that Bill Ward plays that thing halftime and it's kicking like Kato. Oh, fuck. Yeah. I just love that drum lick. He's doing like Ginger Baker on Quaalude. In fact, I heard Ethan James told us that the drummers in those days would eat downs so they could play real hard and not rush the beat.
That's an interesting tactic.
And then a lot of fucking gaffing tape on the toms and to get rid of the rings. Yeah, trippy. But a lot of them 70s drum sounds are really good. Slider by T-Rex, right? So tell me, hit me to fill the void.
So that one, it's really weird. It's kind of an odd song because it's kind of two songs sort of mashed together, right? So you've got this, what is sort of like a sort of metal riff in there because it's a lot of string skipping. So you're jumping between, you know, the low E and the A string and you to hit those notes in there. And so it's kind of groovy. It's got the wah part, you know, it's almost like a mid-tempo Motorhead tune in a way. And then all of a sudden it just goes to that breakneck speed.
Yeah.
And that was one of those where like I had that opening wah riff and I'm like, this is really cool. But I knew like, all right, it's got to go someplace really different. In order to make the dynamics kind of work. And it's weird when we got the album done, it maybe wasn't our favorite song on the album. Like we liked it, but you know, it is like your perceptions of songs change over time. And especially after you just recorded it. And so like
some are meant to, in the old days of vinyl, be on the outside and some hug the label.
Yeah, yeah. And there were songs like Fastball and the title track and some of the other ones where, like, we just, you like them right off the bat. And we were like, yeah, we really like those. But this was one, it was like, all right, we'll put on the B-side. It's cool. And then we were rehearsing for shows, and it kind of dawned on us, like, we played it through once, and we're like, we really like that song. Why aren't we playing this live more?
It's a sleeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well, thank
it came
you for
around.
Enlightening me to that, because I was tripping on it. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, March 6, 2023, edition of the Pedro Show. Special guest, Ken Daves from End of Hope. Hold tight, 5-3. March 6,
sometimes
2023.
You do, yeah.
It's the third hour of the What from Pedro Show.
you play all night. It's time to dance and to be obscene.
Look out, well, we're gonna live our dreams. Don't tell me where I'm supposed to be. Make you pay eventually. There's a thing, that's how that's the key. Glory, watch it while I'm seeing.
Oh.
Watch for Pete Rose Show. Start off the third hour with End of Hope with Seed Indecision. Then Spice Pistols with Life's a Drag. Oakland Afternoon Ensemble with Precious Foam. That's a title. That's an image. Oscar Hart from Handsome Furs out of Finland. Victoria Shin, she's on tour in Japan right now. This is her three records record. She melted three records together, right? A 10-inch, 12-inch, and a 7-inch. And, yeah, of course they played different speeds and shit. Anyway, 202-109-22_23-28-10. That's a title, right? Four, IV, huh? Try multiply and divide with Roman numerals, people. That's why we use Arabic numerals, okay? Niagara, or like my Italian bandmates say, Niagara. And a hope, finally, with Curtain Call. Curtain Call. Now, that sounds to me like a real closer.
Yeah, and yet we stuck it in the middle of side B.
So it would have been the closer side one if it was Vinyl World. Or what's hip now again? Cassettes?
Who would have thought cassettes would
That was the way you could hear shit in your car, right?
They tried when I think about like all the cassettes I wore out over the years, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so when did this come out?
The album?
Yeah.
It's next week. It'll be 314.
I know we tried.
So next week from when we're talking right now, but depending on when your show airs, it might be the same week.
About an hour and a half. I know that we tried to arrange a show to be around, but I forgot. I'm sorry. Whether it was before it came out or just after. Okay. So people.
Yeah, just before we're doing it.
Yeah. And tour planning?
Yeah, we're getting stuff lined up. So we've got Connecticut, New York, Philly, and then we're working on some other stuff.
I-95 tour.
It's a little weird. Like we've gotten to a point where we just want to play with bands we really like.
Yeah.
And also, you know, everybody's a little older.
Less younger.
So going out and slugging it out for weeks on end is kind of not what we want to do.
Oh, so you're going to do like in Legs?
Yeah, we're going to do little bursts here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why not manage it, you know, instead of it managing you?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, we've had heavy weather out here anyway, so maybe you wait. In the meantime, yeah, those areas there. And, you know, you get done with a record. Are you thinking of the next one already?
Yeah, we've already got stuff written. we just keep plugging away because, this one sat for a while, which is not – I'm sure you've had a ton of people come on the show and tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
That we got it done in the middle of the pandemic, but then, it just – we didn't want to put it out during the – I know the pandemic's still going on, but we didn't want to put it out in those really crazy days when nobody was buying anything. You know, I had friends who put out albums and nobody was picking them up or nobody was listening to them because everybody was just too distracted with a lot of other stuff. We wanted to wait until we knew we could play shows around it. So I think it was in some ways smart to hold it, but in hindsight also I realized – I would have loved to have done either an EP or a couple singles before that. I think we're going to do that going forward. So I think now that we've already got songs for the next one, we're not going to sit on those as long as we sat on this stuff. We're going to put out a single or an EP here and there just to keep getting new stuff to folks.
Now, this wisdom you've achieved with Torin, you want to play with bands you like, but I want to play a song from the new record because nobody cares about your band.
Thank you. Thank you.
for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. That Chunk started off with End of Hope doing Nobody Cares About Your Band. Yes. If Bawan after that. Yeah. Brother Al Margolis, Chester, New York. Up the river a little bit from you guys. Solo Duet 1 for Alto and Tenor Recorders. Yeah, that's a title that says what's about. St. Hubert's Key after that, live. Do Engineers Dream? Yeah, I've been pondering that. And then finally, End of Hope. Behavioral Modifications. A little textbooky, a little clinical-y. Where can people find you on the internet?
Endofhope.bandcamp.com, and then the music's all on all the streaming services like everybody else's right today. So Spotify, Apple Music.
But no End of Hope website itself.
No, we use the Bandcamp site. You know, it's different nowadays. You kind of don't need a full website. If you're Metallica, you need a full website.
I disagree, because having your own website is like having your own fanzine, so it can be whatever you want. but that's all right. We
make good use of the Bandcamp page to do that, because now even on the Bandcamp page,
I think the Bandcamp people are actually the best of all the corporate sites for bands. That's my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah, I really do. All the rest are fucking Jive, in fact. And they're the most straight-up people, so thank you, Bandcamp people.
Yeah, I agree. And we do all our merch through them. You know, that really helps us to connect to all the folks who dig what we do. So it's we use it as best we can.
Okay. The thing, though, is you swing by the women. You know, they have been sold to somebody.
So yeah, they got bought by the gaming company.
Yeah, we never know when the shoe's going to drop. Like, they want to, like, I don't know, make some stockholders happy. I don't know. The thing is somebody else's whim. That's why I think a good Bravo, good Plan B is just to have your own. Maybe just hold on to the name, because motherfuckers like to squat on names. You know?
Yeah,
I had to buy my
squat.com.
Motherfucker was sitting on that. That's why it's called a hoop page. Anyway, let's get back to the new stuff. I'm already excited to hear about it.
Well, two things.
Well, the process,
one,
right? Because is it the same thing you and Davis working out demos?
For the new stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, same thing, sending stuff back and forth. There was, as a matter of fact, one of the new ones we threw together in rehearsal, like just like the old times.
Okay.
So we happened to be in the room, and I was noodling. Next thing you know, we're like, well, what if we make this a little longer? What if we cut that a little bit? And then, boom, off we go. Another one, I just did a demo at home. You know, I can record at home. I sent it to guys. Davis records a bass track, sends it back. Actually, now Davey came up and sang at my joint. So rather than demoing on his own, he came up to my place just to sing vocals over it. So that way everybody's got something, including the drummer, and then when we get in the room, we can all play together.
Yeah, if I follow you, the drummer was last.
Yeah, in certain cases. But then he still gets his say. Like, it's not like we cut him out completely and, like, he doesn't get to, you know, he comes in and will be like, nah, that's going on too long. We should cut that, you know, or he'll have his say in how he thinks it should go. And, you know, I know certain bands, it's, you know, one guy brings the stuff in and everybody works on what this guy brought in. This band is very much each guy hacks and slashes.
Well, that's why I like to talk about this stuff, because I think everybody has different ways of doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's fantastic. Like, this is the first band I've played in where everybody sort of has that song. And I think on this album, on Pushback is Strong, I think what you hear is you don't hear any fat in those songs. You don't hear anything that sounds like, you could have pulled that out. I think everything there is whittled down to the bare essentials. And, you know, that's why we think it sounds really good.
Can I ask you a kind of self-centered question?
Sure.
Any of these tunes where the bass came first?
Yeah.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, the bass player jumped on that really fast.
Freedom Denied, I pretty much wrote that whole, like, all of the bass line and everything, sent that to Ken, and Ken just had a guitar over it and sent it out.
That's trippy. That's trippy that you say that, bass line, because, like, if it was guitar or a keyboard, they say, oh, you know, the choruses, the verses, the bridges, but with us, it's the bass line.
Absolutely. And with Seed and Decision, that one I sent Ken. Ken added a little bit to it. He added a little bit of dynamic for like the intro and stuff. But for the most part, I wrote that when it was really Sabbath-y. Yeah,
you know, whenever you got more than one guy playing, you're trying to make an interesting conversation, I think. That's the nature of ensemble, yeah.
And especially with that one, Seed and Decision, like, that's still my favorite on the album. And I like it because, it, to me, it sounds like a Rollins Band song.
Yeah.
And that's what I really dig about it.
You know, he quit music. He said there was nothing left in the toothpaste tube.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, we ran out of time here, but when you get this next album done, will you guys come back on and we can play it and talk about it?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Beautiful. Invites open anytime, every time, right? People, it's been March 6, 2023. This is why people, so keep your powder dry.